a marriage after the sin of adultery? Can God forgive? Can God restore? Can the marriage be rekindled? Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, today we want to tackle the important subject of the sin of adultery. How does adultery affect marriage, and can a marriage survive the atom bomb of adultery? If so, how? Now, to help me as we talk about this important issue is my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Dr. Schroeder is the teaching pastor and the counselor at First Baptist Texarkana. Chris, welcome to the program today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, in the counseling office, you spend a lot of time in the counseling office. Are you seeing this issue come up more and more in marriage counseling?
It comes up all the time, and I think especially because of, you know, social media use, it becomes real easy for someone to get involved in a relationship outside of their marriage.
And typically, Chris, when you're talking to a couple, are they coming in because somebody has spilled the beans, or is somebody discovering this in the counseling office?
Oh, wow. I mean, I think sometimes people have discovered it in the counseling office, but usually by the time they come in the counseling office, it's already been discovered. And unfortunately, the worst case is if it's discovered by the spouse instead of revealed by the one who is doing the cheating.
Right.
So when it's discovered, then it's like, oh man, you didn't even come clean, and now you're caught. And so now that makes it even more difficult.
Are you seeing it more with guys cheating on their wives or wives cheating on their husbands, or is it equal?
I would say it's a little higher for men cheating on wives than the opposite. The statistics say that 20 to 25% of men have had an extramarital affair, and 10 to 15% of women have had an extramarital affair. That's physical affair. And then you add 20% to that for an emotional affair.
Have you seen that most things that end in physical affairs, they don't just go there immediately? So that starts out as an emotional affair with somebody at work or somebody online, and we just start sharing maybe too much, and then it leads to that? Or is it guys, a one-night stand with somebody they meet at a bar or something like that?
Definitely the emotional is where it starts. The communication is where it starts, and it's usually at work. You know, a work relationship is very, very common. I hear a lot of people having these relationships develop at the gym. That just seems to come up all the time, people at the gym. A common one, I haven't seen this that much. I have seen it, but not that much, is friends, like fellow friends, like couples, friends with other couples.
Yeah.
And then that happening. And then, of course, social media. Old flings, old relationships, snooping around on Facebook, and then one thing leads to another, and you know, pictures shared or whatever, and then it goes down a bad path.
So when that takes place, Chris, there are precursors to that. There are things that are wrong in the marriage that are causing folks to look elsewhere. Typically, a good marriage doesn't have adultery just come in out of the blue. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, if your marriage is strong, if it's a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being strongest, if your marriage is near a 10, then you are not as susceptible to an affair. Of course, we are all capable of sin, you know, sinful actions. And so it can happen to anyone. But the stronger your marriage, the less likely it is that an affair could occur. So if an affair has occurred, there's two issues. There's the issue of the affair, which is a sin, which is a sinful act that has to be repented of and has to be forgiven. And then the person cheated on has to choose whether they're going to reconcile or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's one issue. And there has to be healing for that. That's going to take time. And you can't just skip over that and hope that they forgive real quickly. That's going to be a process.
Right.
And then the other aspect of it is the actual marriage and where the marriage was at the time that the affair happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so couples who let their marriage slip and don't focus on their marriage, don't put intentionality into their marriage, they definitely are more susceptible to that happening.
Right. You know? Well, you had mentioned yesterday in our Man Up, we talked about this issue at our Thursday Bible study, Man Up, at First Baptist Texarkana. about how it's never right, but there are issues that can explain why a husband does that, why a wife does that. Not to excuse it, but it does explain it. So a woman who, for instance, a woman who commits adultery, she's going to be starved emotionally. Mm-hmm. Most women are just not like that by nature, that they're going to be looking outside the marriage if their love tanks are full, if their emotional love tanks are full. And for a guy, if he's getting his needs met, then he's not going to be looking outside. So there's some kind of deficiency in the marriage that's causing that person to look elsewhere.
Yeah, you say? And in general, men's needs are more physical needs. Uh-huh. Physical needs is number one for men, you know, sexual, physical needs, and then shared activity. And then for a woman, it's affection, but it's more emotional needs, that her emotional needs are being met. So yeah, if their needs are not being met, then they are more susceptible to this kind of thing happening.
Yeah, I remember, and I'm glad that you're on our staff to take the lion's share of all the counseling, because especially when women are sharing how needy they are and how their husbands are not meeting their emotional needs, I remember thinking to myself, this was years ago, it's like that lady is so seducible.
Yes.
Because she's so needy, and anybody showing her attention right now, she's going to latch on to that. And that's why a lot of them latch on to the counselor or latch on to the pastor, because he's listening to me, he seems to care, and she longs for that.
And then after an affair, let's say that she's been cheated on, now she's going to be extra tempted to have a retaliation affair.
Uh-huh.
So got to remind her to just stay pure, because you're really now susceptible
right.
for retaliation, because it hurts so bad, and you want the other person to feel the same pain that you feel. You want to be able to retaliate because it's so unfair. And our natural, you know, human tendency is to want it to be more fair.
Chris, when you see it from the guy's perspective, the girl's perspective, it seems to me that guys, because they want the physical, they use the emotional to get to the physical. The woman wants the emotional. She'll use the physical to get to the emotional. As James Dobson once said, I've never forgotten this, men use intimacy to get sex, and women use sex to get intimacy.
Yeah.
So we're coming at it from way different angles. But it seems to me that if a man is caught in an adulterous relationship, he can kind of drop that when he's discovered and when he comes to his senses. But a woman who gets involved in that, the emotions are really tied into that. Otherwise, she wouldn't be doing it. So would you say it can be harder for her to disentangle from that?
Yeah, sadly, ironically, I mean, if she's now caught in an unfaithful relationship and they're going to try and reconcile their marriage, she has to leave that other relationship immediately, get out of that other relationship. But that means she's left a relationship where there's been an emotional tie. So she's caused an emotional tie. So she's actually going to have to grieve the loss of the relationship that was, you know, unbiblical, that was from the unfaithfulness. She's going to have to actually grieve that relation, the loss of that relationship.
Right.
So that's so tangled, so difficult.
Well, I know that we're very familiar with the exception clause in marriage that Jesus gave, except for adultery. You know, divorce is not permissible, and then Paul goes on to say if there's abandonment, and I think if you look at the whole scope of the Bible, you would say if there is physical abuse, that there would be, you can separate out of that situation. God didn't call anybody to be a punching bag. But as from the lips of Jesus, that adultery, except in the case of adultery, and Chris, why do you think that is? You know, the Lord hates divorce. He wants people to work through problems, but it seems like for some people, adultery is something they have trouble, big time trouble getting past.
Yeah, I mean, once that has happened, now because of what Jesus said, there is an opportunity to, I don't want to say opportunity, but you have an opportunity to get out of the marriage. So forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness has to take place. But reconciliation is a choice if there's been adultery. But you see the brokenness of the covenant. The covenant has been broken by the unfaithfulness, not by the divorce, but by the unfaithfulness has broken the covenant. And so now you're basically starting over. It's a redo for the relationship. And the relationship is either now over because the covenant has been broken, uh-huh. or it is an opportunity to overcome. And I do see couples get stronger than ever before after an adulterous relationship.
Yeah, it would be, it's such a breach of trust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we stand at the altar to get married, we vow, you know, leaving all others, I will be to you a true and faithful husband, a true and faithful wife, as long as we both shall live. And so when that is broken, that's a serious breach. Debbie,
well,
and
the trust has been broken.
Yes.
So yet trust has to be earned back.
Right.
And so there's ways that you can earn trust back, but it's gone from whatever it was at to a zero. And so now trust has to be rebuilt.
Yeah. So we were talking to one couple, you and I, not too long ago, and I said, and he had been unfaithful, and I said, you just bankrupted the trust bank. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing in it. And trust is earned a drop at a time, but it's lost by the buckets full. You can't gain trust a bucket at a time. It's just a drop at a time. So it's consistent behavior over time will yield trust. But now that's a different pace for different people. It's not just one size fits all. Hey, I do this for 3 months and she's going to trust me again.
No, it takes time. You can't speed up the time. Consistency over time and transparency, being extremely open and honest, and being a complete open book now for your spouse. He or she is going to need that for a period of time, and it could be a long time.
Yeah, and adultery is it's a breeding ground for all sorts of other sins. Mm-hmm. So you have deception in there, you have lying in there, you have all sorts of nastiness involved in that. And there's tremendous guilt. If you're participating in that and you're a believer, mm-hmm. you are just hounded by the ghost of guilt.
Yeah, if you're a Christian man and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and you've done that sort of act, you have a massive conviction. And then you have a decision. You're either going to repent, take that conviction, that pain, and repent of that and make the necessary changes. That would be a godly kind of sorrow. Or you would live in shame and just keep pouring the guilt on yourself and keep beating yourself up. And self-pity is the worst. And then you could become very unattractive to your spouse because you've beat up yourself so much. I was counseling a couple where the affair had happened years before and their marriage survived, but it was not strong. And he was just beating himself up so much that he wasn't a strong man anymore. He wasn't fighting for her. And right. So she wanted him to receive forgiveness and to move on. But he was just so involved in self-pity, which is the worst for a marriage.
Well, the Lord doesn't want us to live in guilt. I always go back to Luke 7, the woman caught, or the prostitute that wept at Jesus' feet. And he says to her, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You don't go away in condemnation. You don't go away in guilt. You don't go away. Here's a scarlet A for your breast pocket. You go in peace because the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, there is damage from that sin, no doubt, and there are consequences of that sin, but you don't have to live in God's doghouse, so to speak, for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 10 years, whatever
rest
it is.
Of your life. Yeah.
You can have forgiveness. Psalm 32, verse 5, David said, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder, our teaching pastor and counselor. We're talking about the issue of adultery and specifically adultery in marriage. Can you restore the marriage after something like that happens? We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
AFA is here every day fighting for the future of America, and praise be to God, we're making a difference. One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net.
Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
The November 8th midterm election is crucial for America. On October 17th at 6 p.m. Central, Walker Wildman, Jamison Taylor, and Debbie Wuffnow will spotlight the battleground races in the U.S. Senate, House, and key statewide races and delve into the AFA Action iVoter Guide. The 2022 election special on October 17th at 6 p.m. Central. Listen live on your local AFR station or AFR.net, or watch live at streaming.afa.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the subject of adultery, adultery in marriage. Is there hope for a marriage that has experienced the pain of adultery? What does God's word say? Well, obviously, you shall not commit adultery. It's in the Big Ten, and the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about this also. Proverbs chapter 6, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her catch you with her eyelids, for on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry, but when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be content, though you give many gifts." Chris, there's a strong word from God's word about stay away from this. He who would destroy himself does it. So on the front end, for people that have never committed adultery, the word is clear. Don't go here. Don't do this. But what do you say to somebody that has fallen in that terrible sin? Is there hope for them?
Oh, I definitely believe there is hope. Of course, you are in great pain. You're in enormous pain, enormous grief. this is not what you expected in your marriage, and so there's extreme disappointment and hurt, and I am so sorry that you're, you know, going through that pain. But there is hope. There is always hope. There's always an opportunity for change and growth. And what the enemy means to destroy, there's always an opportunity for God to turn into good. He always has the last move. And so you can forgive and you can move towards reconciliation. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. As a couple on your own, you need help. It's good to reach out to a biblical counselor, someone who can just give you some principles from God's word that will help you along the process, help you to know what to expect, and that the feelings that you have are very normal. And it's going to be a process, but you can definitely get to a place of overcoming. And I would even say get to a place where your marriage is stronger than before.
How does a spouse that's been cheated on, I have seen this over the years, Chris. So women are generally very inquisitive about things. And so I want to know all the grimy details. I always tell them, you don't want to know that because that plants that in your mind and you're going to, that's harder to overcome. Just know that it happened. You don't have to know all the details. How does a person get past that to be able to still have a fulfilling love life with their partner and not to have that plague their minds?
Yeah, that's a great question because I do see that all the time as well. It's not fair that this has happened to her and because she cannot get the answers from him. And so her tendency is going to want to, is going to be to want to go to him to get the answers and to have her heart be healed. And that's just not going to happen. Even though he's the one that committed the sin and he's the one that caused the pain, he's not the one that's going to be able to fix it. He can't change what's been done. And so she is going to have to go vertical. She is going to have to go to the Lord for healing and help. If she continues to bring it up to him, and every time there's any kind of argument, every time there's any kind of fight, and she lashes out at him and brings it up, there's going to be a point where he's heard that enough. And then bitterness sets in and stonewalling sets in, and then the marriage is in real trouble. So it's not fair at all, but it's not going to help if she continues to go to him and, like you say, like ask questions about it, ask details about it. Once the information, enough information is out, she's going to now have to deal with that between her and the Heavenly Father.
One of the things I heard, Chris, from a friend of mine who had that experience, and it wasn't just with one person, it was with multiple people. And he said he got counsel, and the counselor told him, listen, she may only know about this one person, but if there are others, when you come clean, you have to sweep the corners. You can't just confess certain things like, well, what have you heard? What do you know? I'll confess that, but I'm not going to confess this other. And so he said, okay. And he said it was the hardest thing he had to do to tell her that there were more than one person involved, that there was more than one person. And sure as the world, about 2 weeks after he told her, somebody wrote her a letter and said, you don't know this, but there are other women involved. And she told her husband, she said, if you hadn't told me this, this letter would have ended our marriage because you're not coming clean even when we're trying to rebuild. And so, Chris, when you talk to couples, how important is honesty if they're ever going to get past this?
You have to be completely honest. So trust is built through truth. And, you know, you can't build a healthy relationship if it's not built on truth. And so even as difficult as it may be, you've got to share everything with the person. So we call them withholds. Withholds are those things that you just sweep under the rug. And it's just uncomfortable to talk about. She doesn't need to know. And so you just sweep it. And we say that withholds have 100% resurrection rate. They are going to come back up in some way. Mm-hmm. And you're just not going to be able to build your marriage back strong again if it's not built on truth. You know, it's got to be, your marriage has to be built on the rock. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 7, building on rock, not on sand. Mm-hmm. And so, and when a marriage has suffered through an adulterous relationship, it's like rebuilding the house. Mm-hmm. It's like rebuilding the house while you're still living in the house, you know, building the foundation, right. Realizing that the foundation was not good. And now you're having to rebuild the foundation while you're inside the house. And so that's difficult, of course, but it's possible. And it's only possible if all the truth comes out. So brought into the light. Satan operates in the dark. He wants there to be secrets. That's where he best operates. God operates in the light, in the truth.
Right. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We have to walk in the light. Now, I did remember hearing something on Focus on the Family years ago. I used to listen to James Dobson Focus on the Family when I was an outdoor salesman, and he would come on and I'd be in the car, so I would always listen. He made this statement. He said, if a husband has a one-night stand, some woman he met on a business trip, he's never going to see her again, he fell into adultery, and then he's plagued with guilt, he gets it right with God, the question is, does he tell his wife? Some would say yes. Dobson said, if you're never going to see that person again, if you've truly repented of that, he said, I don't see that it helps your wife or your marriage to tell her something that's going to destroy her. And I know that people have different opinions about that. What would you say about that, Chris?
Oh, man. Dobson is like my all-time hero. So Dr. Dobson is one of my all-time favorite, and I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
And if you wouldn't have said that Dobson said that, I would have totally disagreed.
Yeah.
But I'd have to think about that more, because I'm just big on telling the truth.
Right.
Because the truth comes out. The truth always comes out. But man, that's Dr. Dobson. I don't know.
Well, I do have a friend of mine that happened to him, and it was kind of that kind of experience. It wasn't somebody he had a relationship with. It was a one-time thing, and he never did tell his wife. And that was
he told you, but not his wife.
He told me, and because he needed to tell somebody, yeah. You know, and confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that was probably 20 years ago. And as time passes, then it's like, okay, what's the point of telling her this just so there are no secrets? And his marriage is stronger than ever. So I don't know. I've kind of gone back and forth in my mind on that too. But the goal is to, you know, to have a relationship that's built on truth. And that your heart with the Lord is built on truth, that you don't try and hide things from him, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place watching the evil and the good. He knows everything that's going on. We can't snow job God. And then to those that are listening today that have had this sin come into their lives, you know, it wasn't thrust upon you. You chose to do this, but there is forgiveness in the Lord. And as we said in the first segment, God doesn't want you to live like Hester Prynne for the rest of your life. Here's your scarlet A. You wear it on your chest. And anytime you meet anybody, you need to tell them, well, I'm the adulteress. I'm the adulterer. That's not your identity in Christ.
No, I mean, Satan wants to label you with that forever. And that's what shame is. Shame means that you, condemnation, you know, Romans 8:1,
right.
Where there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so Satan wants you to say that you didn't just commit that sin, but you are that sin. You are identified with that sin.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Lord, the Lord's forgiveness is different than your spouse's forgiveness. So the Lord forgives. You have a clean slate. He forgives. When you truly go to the Lord with a repentant heart, you feel the conviction and you repent and you ask for forgiveness, the Lord forgives you and it's gone with you and the Lord. But another human like your spouse, that forgiveness doesn't come as easily because they aren't the Lord. And so that requires building back trust and all that.
Well, and we talk about forgive and forget. You know, God forgives and God forgets, and so we're supposed to forgive and forget, or we hear that. And I think it's important to remember this. Now, the Lord does forgive, and he forgets in that he doesn't hold that against you. I will remember their sins no more. Remember in what fashion? Does God have Alzheimer's? He can't remember you did that? No, he doesn't remember it against you. And this is what it says about David, 1 Kings chapter 15. It says, but for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Mm. So did God forget that David had adultery and then killed Uriah through the sword of the sons of Ammon? No, he knew that that happened, but he wasn't holding it against David. He forgave David completely. Debbie and I have told couples over the years through Family Life Ministries, when we would speak in different conferences, forgiveness doesn't mean you forget that that ever happened. You know that that happened, but you don't hold it against that person.
In fact, I would counsel not to try and forget. I know that's really hard, but their first step in forgiveness is to recall the hurt that happened. Not to dwell on it all the time, but you're not attempting to try and forget, because again, that thing that happened, God will use for good. And so it's impossible, first of all, to forget. You're never going to forget that. But the dwelling on it is a totally different thing. And the pain of what happened could actually help to bring about healing in your marriage.
Well, 1 Corinthians 13, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So you don't keep bringing it up. You know, it's like, that's forgiven, and so we're not going back there again. But I know that that happened, and I'm going to have to, I tell people this a lot, Chris. You know, forgiveness is like peeling an onion. It comes off in layers, because the feelings of, this person did that, that's going to keep coming up, especially in the early days of the forgiveness and hearing this stuff. And so I make the choice to forgive, but then I have to follow that through and keep saying, but I've chosen to forgive that, because feelings are what feelings are.
Well, you commit to it. So this is going to be a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but you commit to it. And then you hold on to that. You hold on to that commitment that you decided that you were going to forgive, and it's going to take time. So I oftentimes counsel couples to whoever's been offended to write a letter of forgiveness to their spouse. Write out a letter of forgiveness, put your heart into it, pour it all out, write the letter, but do not give the letter to your spouse until you've gotten to that place where you really have forgiven. So hold on to that letter, but that shows that you're in that process of forgiveness. So you commit to it and you hold on to it. And the thing that's going to help you most to be able to forgive is grace, remembering the grace that God has shown us through his son Jesus, that none of us is worthy of, none of us deserve because of the sin in our life. But because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have forgiveness. And so we can only forgive because he has forgiven us. So continuing to remember the gospel message, mm-hmm. that's the best tool to help you to forgive, is just continuing to remember what Jesus has done for us, the gospel message.
And I think for the marriage to be restored, saved and restored and better than ever, there has to be honesty, as we said, and there has to be genuine repentance.
Right.
So, you know, when we think about the adultery clause, Jesus said, I say to everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity makes her commit adultery. If there is adultery, whether it's one time or whether it was continuous, if there's not true repentance and I'm turning away from that, there's no hope for the marriage.
Yeah, I keep saying she, but you know what I'm talking about. It could be she or he. She's looking for a godly kind of sorrow, a true repentance. We find that in Psalm 51. That's what David had. He had a true repentance for what he had done.
Right.
A true godly sorrow for what he had done.
And that's a good thing to pray for. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I think, is where it talks about the mm-hmm. sorrow of the world and godly sorrow. Godly sorrow produces a repentance without regret. And so that's a good thing to say, God, give me this because I want to turn away from this. This sin has me in its grasp and I want to break free. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder about the subject of adultery, especially adultery in marriage. We're going to come back and take your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Call and let's talk about this important subject and how we can get restoration in the Lord.
The Bible says that plagues will increase as we approach the return of Christ. But what if I said that the worst of all plagues was the plague of prayerlessness? I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me, Dr. Jamie Mitchell and Jim Kinney of Inspire and Ignite U.S. as they discuss the prayerless plague in the context of Is There Hope? Needed now more than ever is biblical prayer. Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
We're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates and, of course, our own monies, too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets, because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA, a very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm with Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about a sensitive subject, but an important subject to discuss, and that is adultery in marriage. Is there life for the marriage after the atom bomb of adultery? And the answer is yes, because God is the God of hope. Now, may the God of hope, the scripture says, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Chris, in your counseling, you've seen God do great things to restore a marriage that had been decimated by adultery.
Yes, numerous times I have seen couples have their marriage healed after adultery. Not always, and you may be in a situation where it's happened to you maybe numerous times. You know, I always think about when Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to have wisdom. And so you don't just keep on putting yourself in a situation where you're being, you know, cheated on over and over again. And so there are times when the marriage, it's not healthy for the marriage to continue in that way. I would much prefer separation before divorce, but there's definitely situations where you have to pull away and cannot... Right. and cannot just continue with theirs when there's unfaithfulness. It's not a set amount of times, but it does require wisdom.
Well, if you're married to a serial adulterer or adulteress, you can't have a marriage in that situation.
Right.
And but if a spouse falls in a one-time relationship, where a one-time event or a unhealthy relationship, emotional affair that leads to a physical affair, if there can be true repentance, you totally break off that relationship, God can bring healing. And Chris, as you and I were talking to a couple that just the other day, the choice between the marriage I have, option A,
right,
divorce, option B,
right,
the Christian couple says, well, I know divorce is wrong, but it's got to be better than option A. And I always try and get them to see option C. Option C is you really get your heart right with the Lord. You start doing the things necessary to have a good marriage and see what God does in response to that.
Well, I mean, a lot of times it honestly can be a blessing in disguise because the marriage could be very stagnant, dead, needs aren't being met at all. It's just at a really low place. And that's not honoring to God in any way to have, you haven't been divorced, you're still married, but there's no love in the marriage.
Right.
And then through an act of sin, there's been adultery, there's been unfaithfulness, and now there's repentance, and now the marriage has an opportunity to be something so much better than it ever was before.
Right.
So it really can be a wake-up call. It really can be something that is disastrous, horrible sin, and turn into something good.
I remember this happened years ago where a guy was wanting me to call his spouse because she was wanting out of the relationship. And he kept telling her, hey, Malachi says God hates divorce. And he was using that as a club to beat her up. And then it became my fault because I didn't change her mind. And I said, you know, God hates divorce. He also hates how you're living with her.
That's right.
He hates your judgmental spirit that you are inflicting upon your wife that's causing her to want to get out of the marriage.
I feel like Christians, sometimes our bar is too low, the bar of just not getting divorced, that the goal of marriage is just to not get divorced. And we hammer that message of no divorce, no divorce, no divorce. But a better message is God's design is for us to have beautiful, meaningful marriages.
Right.
You know, he created the Institute of Marriage.
Right.
And he created it to be a beautiful, fulfilling thing. And so our bar should be much higher as Christians for marriage.
Right. And marriage is a picture of the Christian life. Ephesians 5 says, I'm speaking with reference to Christ in the church when it's talking about marriage. And so just as the Lord wants your Christian life to be full and overflowing, he came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. He wants our marriages to be like that. And when our marriages are stagnant, typically our Christian lives are not full and overflowing either. And God says, I don't want you to have I didn't save you so that you'd have this stagnant, dull, drab Christian life. I want it to be exciting.
Yeah, marriage is the highest ideal of a relationship. Outside of a relationship with God, the marriage relationship and the principles in a marriage relationship apply to all of our relationships. And marriage really is a sanctifying tool for us. You know, we're shaped in our family of origin by our mother and father and siblings, but then we have another opportunity. God gives us marriage as an opportunity to shape us into the people that he wants us to be, to really sanctify us, bring out those, soften those hard areas in us, bring out those hard sin areas in us. So marriage has so much potential. It's not easy. It's difficult, but it can be such a blessing to us.
Amen. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. Call in if you have a question or a comment, or maybe you have a testimony that says, hey, this happened in my marriage and God has done a great work. Well, we have Linda on the line from Florida. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. And I just listened and I'm just coming to a realization of some things just listening to you all. My situation is my husband and I have been married for almost 31 years, but we've been separated for 5. He has had many affairs, and I stayed, and, you know, just that whole Malachi thing, and just wanting to do the right thing. He is now at a certain age. We're both up in age, 55 and 60, and he's now wanting to reconcile, but there's no godly sorrow that you guys spoke of earlier. And I guess I'm just wondering how, because I feel like I've been dragged, you know, all these years, and for him to actually leave to pursue a career instead of working on our marriage. He didn't divorce. He didn't want to divorce. And I believe it was because of money's sake. But I'm just wondering, I just really want the Lord to release me, because I don't see any of the repentance. I see I'm older now and maybe made some bad decisions, and I just don't want to be that fallback person. But at the same time, I don't know how would I know how the Lord is leading me? I feel like many a times he's like, if you stay, you're going to, you know, have things to deal with. If you leave, you're going to have things to deal with. Yeah. I'm here with you. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of been my choice. And and the other thing is, anytime, you know, I want to discuss things about the Lord, I want to walk out my Christian walk, it's like an offense to him. Mm. But he, you know, claims to be
a believer.
And the softness that I see now, I believe it feels like it's just coming with age and just kind of realizing, oh my goodness, I made some big mistakes.
Yeah. Are there children involved, Linda?
All of my children are grown, but I do have some grandchildren that I'm now raising.
Okay.
And, you know, the excuse now is, so, you know, I kind of want to help you with that. Mm.
You guys haven't lived together for 5 years, is that right?
For 5 years. He still pays certain things, you know. I mean, I help him, you know. It's like, okay, you finish college, you do this, and, you know, we're going to be together, so you're further along than I am with this, so do this. But then he ended up leaving. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of, you know, in a situation where I do need help, and, it's a strange place to be right now.
Okay, Chris, what would you say to that?
Well, Linda, first of all, I mean, I can hear the pain in your voice. I'm so sorry that you've experienced this. It's so painful to be in a bad marriage and then to have separation and have the spouse be unfaithful. So painful. But I think you are on the right track, and I think God is giving you wisdom, more wisdom than you even realize, because you're looking at that for godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. So if you look up 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, it talks about different kinds of sorrow, godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow is pain, conviction, repentance, change. Worldly sorrow is shame, pity, blame, regret. And you can look for those emotions in your spouse and see which one he's showing, godly sorrow, worldly sorrow. You can also look at Psalm 51, where David acknowledges his sin. There's no excuses. He acknowledges his sin, he owns it, and he turns back to the Lord. And so you're looking at those things, and you're looking to see what you see in your husband. And if you're seeing worldly sorrow, then you're not seeing the desire to change. And the Lord doesn't want you to be stuck. And so I would say a good thing to bring to him would be, if he wants to reconcile, then you're going to need good biblical counseling. And so in your area in Florida, you can look up, find some good biblical counseling, either through just a biblical counseling organization online, like a Association of Biblical Counselors. You can look up to see if there's a good biblical counselor and see if he's willing to do counseling with you in order to try and reconcile. But I think God is giving you wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely, Linda, don't want to jump back in with your husband if he's not repentant, because, you know, he might be at the age now where he's not going to be doing that. But you just can't have a relationship with somebody that thinks it's okay to cheat on you. And if the opportunity arose again, he would do it again. And so I would just encourage you that way. But you know, God does have a plan for your life, and he is not, he's going to lead you every step of the way, and he wants you to do his will. So he will show you what to do as you trust him. And so we'll be praying for you on that also. And thank you for calling in today. And I hope the things that were said were helpful to you. God bless you, my sister. Well, we have Caroline on the line from North Carolina. Caroline, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you. Just so many of the things that you guys are saying are just so spot on. But I just wanted to offer just a note of hope to people who are struggling with getting back into the relationship that, you know, once it has been properly repented of, and that's awesome that you went the difference between those things. But I just wanted to share a little hope because I was in that spot. And knowing that God didn't want me to give up on my marriage, I had little kids, and this was many years ago, but I just kept thinking, God brought to mind that verse that says, commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And to me, that just meant that I had to continue in my deciding to love my husband. And so I would do things like, I would say it out loud, even when, you know, not to him, but just to hear me, remind myself, I love my husband. There's hope in this relationship. This God can heal this. I've seen, you know, relationships that did get healed and were stronger because they healed what the problem was before the adultery. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, continuing to say what was in my, you know, continuing to commit my works unto the Lord, to act in a loving way and to speak in a loving way. And I actually got, and it didn't take that long. It was surprising to me. Mm-hmm. It didn't take that long. And I got to the place where I loved my husband again. I was still, you know, hurt. And there were times that would still come back up. But I just to be able to feel that again, I just didn't think that was going to happen for ages. Mm. And I actually saw the same thing happen when my little girl was born, and I wasn't like overwhelmed with, you know, that, oh my gosh, I love this baby feeling. And so I remembered that then too, and I did that with her, and I would just look at her and say, I love you, little girl. And I swore 5 days later, you couldn't pry that baby from my cold dead hand. So God means business when he says that. It works.
Amen. Amen. Great testimony, Caroline. Yeah, we say what God says. We just say, Lord, this is what your word says, and I am directing my heart, my feelings toward that, because that's the truth.
Caroline, I mean, you have a great testimony, and I pray that God will give you opportunities to share your story with others that are currently in that situation that God has taken you through.
Yeah, because you do, women that are going through that now, because you said that was many years ago, they need to know that there's hope,
right,
that there's victory on the other side, and what God has done in your life, he can do in their lives too. And so, as we said, God is the God of hope, and God is the God. Romans 8:28 is still in the book, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And God can take the horrible things, the painful things, the shameful and sinful things, he can work all those together to bring about something good and something beautiful. Well, Chris, we've been talking about a difficult subject today, but it's an important subject, and I just want to encourage every couple out there, as I know you do, don't go there. There are reasons why the Lord puts up big signs that says, this road is closed, don't go there.
Not worth it, yeah.
It is not worth it, and it will just bring pain. So rejoice in the wife of your youth, enjoy her, and wives, enjoy your husbands, and build a good marriage. Hey, a marriage is either going to be coming together in oneness, or it's going to be drifting apart in isolation. Good marriages don't just happen. We have to work at them to make them good. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And on behalf of myself and Dr. Chris Schroeder, who is my guest today, we want to say, go out and shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you for his glory. God bless. I'll be with you again on Monday. And go out and serve the Lord.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.